From God, our Heavenly Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for our meditation today is from our epistle lesson from 1 Corinthians 12 and 13, where St. Paul writes, "Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends." This is our text. Dear friends in Christ Jesus, our living Lord and Savior, many of you know, most of you probably don't, but I grew up as the oldest of four kids. I had three younger sisters. Boy, was I blessed. While our family was deeply involved in the church, we were still a pretty typical family. And so while I loved my sisters with all my heart, there were those times when we just got on each other's nerves from the time we got up in the morning until the time we went to bed at night. I'm sure you can imagine the noise, the commotion, the discord of four kids aged 16 to 6 as they caused fights over what we would watch on TV, what we would have for lunch, or who got to be the banker while playing Monopoly. More than once, my parents screamed in desperation, "Can't you all just get along? Can't you all just get along?" I know my family wasn't the only one like that. And if we can't get along as families, how can we get along as a church? And if we can't get along as a church, how can we get along as a nation? And if we can't get along as a nation, how do all of us in the world expect that we are going to get along? What's going to unite us? What common ground do we all have? Well, St. Paul gives us the answer to that in our epistle lesson today, when he shows us what the real character of love is all about. Can't you all just get along? You know, we are very blessed here at Trinity, because for the most part, we do all get along. That's why I've been encouraging Pastor Ganey to stay here, because him and I do get along very well, which doesn't happen in a lot of churches, for the two pastors to get along. And we get along with Greg as well. You know, in the last number of years since I've been here, we've been through three or four major fundraisers. We raised $1 million to put up the addition on the school in 1999 and 2000. And we raised, $750,000 to put on the covers to the windows and the roof, and then the Connected in Christ thing, that was another $750,000. And you know what? Through all of those fundraisers, which put a lot of pressure on churches, we really didn't have any fights. You know when the last major fight here at Trinity was? The last major divisive thing here at Trinity? Yeah, you got it. But not with this hymnal. Dean was pointing to the hymnal. When we switched from the Lutheran hymnal, that old one put together in the 40s, to Lutheran worship, that blue hymnal, that was the last time we had a big, big fight around here, and that was way back in the early 80s. So we indeed have been very, very blessed here at Trinity. But the question still remains, can't we all just get along? You know, one would think that a church established by St. Paul would be like the bee's knees. It would be like the best church ever. And yet, as we look at this epistle for today, we see that that church in Corinth was really one of division. Prior to our lesson for today, St. Paul runs down a whole list of spiritual gifts. You know why he does that? Because they were arguing about which were the best spiritual gifts. The people who spoke in tongues thought that they were better than anybody else in the church. And that's just not right. We are the body of Christ, after all. And so we all have one baptism, and we were all one body in Christ. And so we all have spiritual gifts. Every single one of us has a spiritual gift given to us by God. And we use those spiritual gifts not to get all puffed up and arrogant like they were in Corinth, but we use those spiritual gifts to the benefit of the church. If we're using it for ourselves, we're not using it right. But we use those spiritual gifts for the church. And that's what St. Paul was explaining to the church in Corinth, the church that he spent 18 months establishing. And so he has to give them a refresher course on what love is all about, which is really kind of strange. Because you would think that if there is one thing we would know about, it would be love. I mean, we have all been in love, whether we loved our parents, or we loved our spouses, or we loved our children, or we loved ice cream. We've all been in love. So you would think that we would know how to describe it pretty accurately. One of the problems we face with using the English language, however, is that we only have one word for love. And so it turns out that I love potato chips, I love my children and my granddaughter, and I love my wife. But I don't love them all in the same way. And that just causes some confusion for us. The other thing that gets into our problem is that in the world today, we tend to think of its love as an emotion. You know, love is something that you feel in your heart. And if, might it be there? And sometimes it isn't there. It might have been there at one time, but now not so much. And the unfortunate problem is that marriages fall apart as people fall in and out of love with each other. But if you take a look at this lesson for today and really look at what St. Paul says about love in this lesson for today, it should open your eyes. You see, in Greek, there are three or four different words for love. One of the words that is used in the Bible is phileo, which is a brotherly love. Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love, that's exactly where it comes from. Phileo is a brotherly love, it's a friendship. But the word that St. Paul uses in our text for today is the word agape. And that word agape stands for unconditional love. I love you no matter what kind of love. And while St. Paul goes through these 16 different descriptions of love, each and every time he uses the word agape, and if you look at them closely, not one of them is related to an emotion. First of all, love is patient and kind. It does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. You see what I'm talking about? These aren't emotions. These are ways of treating one another. These are ways of acting towards each other. And so if we act towards each other in love, that emotion of love will follow closely behind. Now, I could spend the next 16 hours going through and talking about each of these descriptions of love, but The fact of the matter is, I'm meeting my granddaughter up in Grafton for lunch, and I don't want to be here that long. So we're just going to take a look at the first one. Love is patient. And we take a look at 2 Peter 3:9. We read that the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but God is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. And if there was ever an example of patient love, it is that of our Lord. Our Lord puts up with our sinful ways from the moment we are conceived until the moment we die. That's a lot of patience. Another way of translating that word for patience is with the word long-suffering. Same thing, long-suffering. Love is long-suffering. The long-suffering that our God exhibits with us is modeled in us as his children. And that means that when troubles arise, we just don't throw out the relationships that we have with our fellow Christians or with our spouses, but we stick with it. The exact same way God sticks with us and is long-suffering with us, forgiving every single one of our sins at every turn. And St. Paul runs through those other descriptions, but then he ends with, love endures all things. And you know what? No matter how you say it, whether you say love is patient, or love is long-suffering, or love endures all things, guess what? It all means the same thing. It means that love is there always, unconditionally, no matter what happens. As Christians, we continually love God and we continually love one another unconditionally. Real love endures forever. And as Christians, we continue to act in a loving way toward God and toward our fellow man. Even if we may disagree about something that they have said or done, we still talk about it, we discuss it, but in the end, we forgive and move on. Because love endures unconditionally. Can't we all just get along? God has loved us from before the creation of the world. Let that sink in for a second, okay? God loved us before he ever created anything in this world. So that means that God knew that we would skip church, and he still created us anyway. God knew that we would take his name in vain, and yet he still created us anyway. God knew that we would go days and days and days without reading his word, without spending time in prayer, even forgetting that he exists at all during the week. And he still loves us anyway. And he still sacrificed his son on the cross to forgive our sins. That's the kind of God that we have. A God who is patient with us. A God who is long-suffering with us. And that's the kind of Christians we strive to be. Christians who are patient, Christians who are long-suffering. Why can't we all get along? That indeed turns out to be a very good question. Because we've got God's example of love that he has for us, and we've got St. Paul's description of love right here in our Bibles. So if we just remember that love is patient, that love is long-suffering, that love endures all things, maybe we will get along just a little bit better. In Jesus' name, amen.